Now, back to the gardening show with Dean Krauskopf.
And you can join our conversation, 1-800-859-0957, or at thegardeningshow.com. And of course, with thegardeningshow.com, you can always email me down at the bottom of the page. And Patricia in Brighton, Marion Centerline, and Diane Ipsilanti, all three of you emailed me, and I will try to get to you today. But again, let me give you that phone number, 1-800-859-0957. 957. Before we go to the lines or go to the email, let's go to an old friend, and that's Carl Eckert, one of the owners of Eckert's Greenhouse. Carl, welcome again to the gardening show.
Thank you, Dean.
You have, well, two things I'd like to talk to you about today, one
sure.
of which is the Monarch Butterfly Watch. And
yes.
But first, let's talk a little bit about your Plant Something promotion for Father's Day weekend. Tell me about that.
Yes, well, the state of Michigan here, being that horticulture is such a big part of our industry, as commerce goes, declared June as Plant Something Month. So it's a month-long celebration. We here at Eckert's got some promotions going on where we've got some free plants for people to come in, a starter plant or smaller plant for them to pick out. And we also have a coupon for monetary dollars off of purchases.
So that's a great Father's Day gift, but the whole thing
sure.
about it is that, you know, it's fun. Take Father out to plant, rather, and I'm not going to say out to dinner. Take him out to dinner and to plant.
Yeah.
But what a great gift, a plant. It's a wonderful idea. And the other thing is, of course, we benefit our environment, no matter what kind of plant you plant.
Oh, gosh, certainly. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, our the horticulture business or industries.
It's
very big
huge.
In the state of Michigan. So
it's the third largest, agriculture, it depends on who you argue to, can be the second or third largest industry in Michigan, and ornamental horticulture, greenhouses, and that is number one. We're on that. So it's a big business, which also means, though, even if you're not, can't go to Eckert's greenhouses, there are plenty of other places, independent garden centers around with quality plant material. And again, this Plant Something Month is just a wonderful idea, and it couldn't be better for Father's Day. So,
I watch for the labels growing in Michigan, of course.
You got it. Exactly. Have to have that. But let's also talk about the other thing that you're doing. And this is just a great idea, and I know it's not your idea, but you're picking up with it and running with it. And that, of course, is the Monarch Butterfly Watch. So I know you are a way station for monarch butterflies, which to me as a commercial greenhouse and nursery is kind of a unique thing in itself, but you're spreading the word and letting other people create these way stations and trying to, the monarch butterfly population is crashing, and we need to do something as we can about it.
So and
go ahead.
A lot of the food sources have been diminishing, so we came up in 2010 to make, just the greenhouse there part of that. You know, the biggest thing is get food source to the monarchs.
Right.
That helps. But, gosh, so we took that and did that on our own greenhouse, but now promoting that for people in our own backyards. And what a difference. You know, just someone putting the milkweed asclepias butterfly bush in your yard for beauty, but let alone a great way to feed the monarchs and at the same time.
Exactly.
So you don't need acres of milkweed. A few plants in everybody's yard makes a huge difference in getting that products to them, food source.
Everybody thinks of milkweed as a weed, and it is.
Mm-hmm.
But they're quite attractive. Well, okay. they're not. But I think they're attractive.
We've got six different kinds there. And right now, the red and the oranges are beautiful. And then the butterfly bushes. Oh, my goodness, what a great scent that is. We've got five different kinds of those, and the aroma they give off, just unbelievable. Yeah.
So you can enjoy, we as humans can enjoy the beauty in maintaining, trying to increase or at least maintain the monarch butterfly population. So great project.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was funny today, even in the common verbena, right by the cash register today, the butterflies are on that, getting that. So many plants, attract butterflies.
Mm-hmm. They are, I'll put a list. I'll put a link in our webpage to the Plant Something Month material, your Monarch Butterfly Watch material, and also I'll reprint. There's a great bulletin on attracting butterflies to a whole range of plant material, annuals and perennials. So, thank you so much, Carl. As always,
you're welcome.
Appreciate it. What a great
thing.
Carl Eckert, one of the owners of Eckert's Greenhouses, Monarch Butterfly Watch, and the Plant Something Month here in Michigan. what a great thing to do. And so great opportunity for people to have some fun with dad or granddad and plant some plants. What better way? I can't think of a better thing to do. 1-800-859-0957. Also, in line with that, this is national, or coming up as National Pollinator Week, and part of that is to it's called Beepalooza. And where do they come up with these names? I don't know, but that one's cool. It's Sunday, June the 22nd, 1 to 4, in the Michigan State University Horticulture Gardens. Lots of activities. Enjoy the plant material just to look what it is, but also learn about bees and all their benefits to us. Great for the kids or the grandkids. And I will put a link in that, too, also in my website, thegardeningshow.com. Okay, a couple of quick things before we need to go to break. Patricia in Brighton, Canada geese. She lives in a condo. They're near a pond, and unfortunately, that's ideal for Canada geese. And, okay, they're nice to look at, but not in my backyard. So she asked for some issues about how to keep them out. Well, one of the things, interestingly enough, you can do is work with your association or whoever does the landscaping. If you leave the grass longer, grow it higher around the pond, the geese don't like that, so that may reduce it. Try some old CDs on a monofilament line that flash and move. That may help. Just a monofilament fish line. You can't see it, so be careful you don't trip people, but it may work. The repellents don't work, basically, because geese can't taste the hot sauce and things like that. The one I like, it's a little pricey, is a sprayer. That's a water spray you hook up to a hose that's motion-driven, and it squirts them. And I can't think of anything that's more fun. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Now, back to The Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957 or thegardeningshow.com. As I said, I will be updating about the middle of the week the gardeningshow.com website. We'll have the information from Carl Eckert's information on the Monarch Butterfly Watch and Plant Something Month here in Michigan. Also, I will put in a little bit, if I can find some more information on repelling or getting rid of or discouraging, let's say, Canada geese. So check the website, thegardeningshow.com. But right now, you can check in with me, 1-800-859-0957. So let's go to Clint in Millbury, Ohio, and Judy in Franklin, you're up next. So Clint, welcome to The Gardening Show.
How you doing, Dean?
Doing great. It's beautiful outside. Great. Couldn't be a better day. What's going on?
I hear that. Yeah, I moved into my current residence in 2010, and it has a couple nice mature trees on it. One of them's a red oak, and I'd say it's anywhere from 50 to 60 years old. Wow. I did notice that when I moved in, they had a couple of limbs that were that appeared to be dead or were close to it, so I cut those off. But then I noticed that when I cut one limb off, it was probably 3 inches in diameter, that it had kind of a black, almost like a mold to it. Now, ever since then, I've noticed that after fall and winter come around, that what appears to be maybe a healthy limb, that next season, yep, they're completely dead. And I noticed that black kind of like mildew or mold is on the limb as well. Do you have any idea what that would be? Am I looking at a fungal infection?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, Clint. A lot of times when you say it's a black mold, is the bark peeling off and then you're seeing it? Or is it on the top of the bark and it's as the branch dies?
You know, I think it's normally when I talk about it, it's like after the limb's dead, you can peel the bark off and you
right.
can see it.
It's underneath.
It's not actually on top of it.
Okay. Is there a pattern? Lower limbs, one side of the tree versus another, or anything like that?
No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, I thought maybe it was just that it was self-pruning, but then I noticed that it's all over the tree.
Yeah, I think without seeing it and doing some good lab tests, I would say that tree's in trouble. My suggestion would be contact the Ohio State University Extension and mm-hmm. ask how to submit a sample to their diagnostic clinic.
Okay.
Or you could do the same to Michigan State Extension. And if you look at thegardeningshow.com, up in there's a section that's called references. You can click in there and do a little fudging around and you'll find that the links are for Michigan State. I apologize. I don't have the one for Ohio State. I should have it on there.
Okay.
I think, and ask them what kind of sample they want, and they may say they don't want anything right now because oaks are susceptible to a disease called oak wilt. And any time you make a cut this time of year, beetles that carry the disease spores are attracted to the sap. So this is not the time to make cuts. So I think they'll probably give you advice and wait till the fall or something like that. One of the things I know that Michigan State does, with no charge, I have no idea again about Ohio State, is that if you contact them and ask how to send them some photographs, a lot of times the diagnosticians will be able to take a look at that, give you some information on what pictures may help. It's not definitive, obviously, Clint, but it'll give you a key kind of clue to what may be the problem. And then they'll give you more information on how to submit samples and things like this.
Are there any treatments as far as that goes for a fungal infection?
It depends on the fungus. There are. And typically, you know, it depends on two things, one of which is the disease that we're dealing with, if it, that's what you're dealing with. The second thing is how far has it progressed. If that, you know, trees that size, they can be basically hollow inside, and you'll never know it on the outside. So it could be something like that. Once you get to the disease issue and identify that, that narrows it down. Then you have to have, in my opinion, a certified arborist come in and tap the tree. In other words, they'll drill right into it and look to see if there's internal damage, because that's a structural issue, and, boy, you can't do anything about it. There's no structural issue. And it depends on the disease. Then you can start talking about actually treating it. And it's an injection, and it can be yearly or every other year. To be honest with you, most of these times what they're doing, it's called a fungistat. In other words, it doesn't kill the fungus. It just makes it quit growing. And that's pretty good because the tree then can continue to grow. So it just right now we've got too many unknowns out there, Clint. I think we need to start with the diagnostic people, who both universities have world-class people available. And then let's, once they weigh in on this, then we can come up with a treatment plan or whatever you need to do with that tree.
Okay. So then, and as far as oak wilt, real quick, as far as oak wilt goes, that's normally you see signs of it. It's the actual leaves wilt, correct?
Right. It depends on the symptomology, and typically oak wilt will progress very rapidly, or 6-8 weeks the tree is dead. So I don't think that's what you're dealing with. I think it's one of the other ones. And, but there are a range of those, too. So I'm not diminishing the importance of getting the diagnosis.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your help.
You know, I would ask one favor. If you do get a diagnosis, give us a call back.
Absolutely.
And just let me know, because, of course, everybody else out there may be seeing some of the same symptoms, and that may be useful to them. I would sincerely appreciate it.
Okay. Great, Dean.
Thanks
you
a lot. Appreciate it. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Judy in Franklin, and then Karen in Livonia, stay on the line. You're up next. Judy, welcome to The Gardening Show.
Hi, Dean. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
I think I might have an idea of what's going on. I have a 40-year-old hybrid tea rose that I never had this problem till I moved it to where I am now 3 years ago.
Okay.
And what it did 2 years in a row is always, and I read about, I think what it is on the, if the timeline is right, sometime in May, apparently something called, something lays eggs for the
rose sawfly.
Say it again.
Rose sawfly.
What's the first word?
Rose. Or there's a couple of them, but there is a rose sawfly. No.
I still can't quite. Can you spell?
R-O-S-E. Like the plant, rose.
Rose, sorry.
That's okay.
Excuse me.
Don't apologize, Judy. I'm mumbling, and we've got two fantastic people working in there, and neither Rich nor Annie can clean me up some days. It's one of those days. Sorry.
So there we go. Yes, I looked at the symptoms.
Could be. Like now, where are you seeing the split?
Right where I see it on the Internet. It's right on the cane, always in May, late May.
Yeah.
And it's right near where I'm going to have a beautiful flower.
When you say the split, usually on a stem borer or things like that, it bores down through the center. Usually,
it's a long line.
Yeah, okay.
And it splits open. And then the anything above that doesn't get nutrients. It
dies off.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, yeah.
I thought, I thought I found what this is on the internet, and I just can't figure out. I think, isn't it going to be a caterpillar that's doing this?
It's a little worm-like down in the center, and typically once you get it going in this, the approach is to just do nothing more than cut it out.
Oh, no, I thought you meant in the center, in the heart of my poor plant.
Well, no, not shouldn't be doing, if it's going in that deep, there are other issues. You know,
right.
That plant's got
It's very
major
healthy
problem.
Looking otherwise.
No, when you start seeing it, you got to go down below, and which usually, as you pointed out, means taking out a nice flower.
Did that.
And just keep going until you are at least an inch or, you know,
right.
you'll see the inside is gone, where the
right.
worm is gone. You just keep cutting and cutting and cutting until you go one set of leaves below where you don't see that anymore.
Okay, I've been doing all that, but mm-hmm. My concern is, where are these caterpillars? Are they coming out of the ground?
Oh, I'd have to look it up, to be honest with you. It's been a little while. But they usually, these kind of things overwinter as pupae someplace.
They are overwintering.
Yeah, or the eggs are. There may be.
Yeah.
And I'd have to look it up.
How can I keep them from crawling up my darn cane?
You know.
That's what I thought would keep this from happening, but I can't figure out a way to do it.
Let me check on the internet myself,
okay.
And I will check the gardeningshow.com website, middle of the week, and let's pin this down, because I apologize, Jude. It's been a while, and
okay.
I'm not up on the details either right now, so let me check, if you don't mind.
You know that milky spore stuff that
nope.
kills...
won't work.
Huh?
That will not do it. It's a totally different organism,
okay.
and it doesn't work.
Thank you.
I wish it would.
Thank
you, Judy. Sorry
okay.
about that.
Yep. Okay. Bye.
1-800-859-0957. If I don't know it off the top of my head, I can go look it up for you. So give me a call. Stay tuned. The Gardening Show. We'll be right back.
Now, back to The Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957, or you can email me at The Gardening Show. Down below, all the information that we get each week, and we update about the middle of the week. People email me. Mary in Centerline has a cactus. It's in an 8-inch pot, but it's 48 inches tall. She wants to know, what size should I transplant it into? Mary, that's a good question, because there's a real danger here, especially with plants like cacti, who are designed to absorb water, and very slow growing in most cases. They can be overwatered very easily, and overwatering means low oxygen, and the roots die, and bad things happen. And this happens when the water is not taken up by the plant. So the pot's too big, there's too much of a reservoir and a water-holding capacity, and it dies, or at least rots a little bit. My suggestion, if it's in an 8-inch pot, and I think when you're talking about 8-inch, I assume it's what's called an 8-inch pan. In other words, it's wider than it is tall. I would go up no more than a 9-inch. And the reason for that is I just really want to limit the potential for this overwatering issue. And when you get everything done and the repotting done and watered in and it settles, the media level should be exactly the same. If you look at the plant, you should not add any more media to the top so you don't cover up any more of the stem. Again, to prevent this problem with on cacti especially. They just don't tolerate water or moist media around their roots, so, or around the stems either. Hope that helps. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to the lines. Let's go to Karen in Livonia. Pat in Fenton, you're up next. And Jack and Dexter, stay on the line because you're in the hole. So, Karen, welcome to The Gardening Show.
Thank you. I have two questions. Maybe I only have time to ask one.
Okay, let's try it. Let's see. Get the first one out and let's see what happens.
Okay. I have phlox.
Sure.
And the bottom of them, the leaves are turning yellow.
Yep.
What is most disturbing is that the top, the very top where the flower is going to develop, actually wilted
mm-hmm.
and shriveled.
Now, are we talking, which phlox are we talking about?
The old-fashioned lavender.
The low-growing, floppy.
Well, they're about, I would say, 2.5 feet tall.
Oh, okay. No, that's Phlox paniculata. It's got a narrow, like an arrowhead-shaped leaf.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah. I've got it all over my place, too, and I love them.
Yes. They're wonderful. They're beautiful. They blow in
right.
the breeze. They're wonderful.
They are. They are. And there, again, we were talking about attracting butterflies. That's one of the best.
Yes.
How big an area is having a problem? Karen, is a large area or just one or two
plants? Well, I have a long border. The border is like 25 feet long.
Right.
And I have just a mixture of perennials in there so that they bloom at various times of the year.
Okay.
And the plants are rather close together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have, in that whole border, I probably have like three or four bunches scattered. I have some lavender ones and some white ones.
Okay.
And it seems like all of the plants are affected. Now, not all of the plants had that shriveled, withered top to them.
All right. Now, a couple of things that are going on out there. Now, you said these are along your driveway.
No, they're in my backyard.
Oh, okay, sorry.
But it's just a long, narrow border so that I can get in on both sides of it to garden.
All right. Now, a couple of things that are going on. One of the things on my flocks are spittle bugs. It's like an aphid. It sticks its proboscis in. You get a lot of froth. And they will cause the top of that flower to turn brown and wilt. The other thing is something called a four-line plant bug will do the same thing. So those are out and they're active. I don't know if that's related or not, but those, I just bring that up. Those could be two possible causes for the top. The bottom yellowing, are you losing the leaves? Are they just turning yellow?
Well, right now they're just turning yellow, and I haven't really tugged on them to see if they're...
Yeah, but you're not seeing any browning around the edges or anything like that?
No, okay. They're just very... Well, they got pale first.
Right.
And now they're... When I was out there today, I saw that they were actually yellowed.
Do you see the veins in the center of the leaf, or the whole leaf is turning yellow?
I see the veins in the center of the leaf.
Bingo. Livonia, you're on city water.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Detroit City Water is some of the best in the world. But it has no magnesium in it.
Okay.
I rarely do this, Karen, without a soil test, so I'm breaking one of my basic rules. But here, I want you to try something. You know what Epsom salt is?
Yes,
salt.
I do.
1 tablespoon per gallon of water.
Okay.
And I want you to mix it up and apply it to one side of one of the clumps.
Okay.
So we know which, and just wait for 48 hours.
Okay.
And if the yellowing down below quits, it's a magnesium deficiency, and you know how to fix it.
Okay.
And I think that's what it is.
Okay. And then how do I take care of this?
Then you're going to have to identify the top problem. And check my website, thegardeningshow.com, and I'm going to put in there on spittle bugs and on four-line plant bug.
Okay.
Now, when you say that the bud shriveled and died up, did the leaves look really crappy? You get all little black spots or brown spots in them, and then they just kind of shrivel?
Well,
is that sort of what I'm seeing, you're seeing?
What I had a problem with a fungus that starts with a B.
Botrytis.
Yes.
Okay.
And it attacked a peony, and so...
Yeah, that's different, because the problem with if it is botrytis, botrytis is not a really aggressive fungus. It attacks anything that's starting to die off. It hits peony flowers like mad after they bloom, because they're so delicate and they start to decompose slightly as they age.
Okay.
And it just wipes them. Okay. Or you get a wet spring and it'll get in the bud. That's not the same thing.
Okay.
I've never seen botrytis on flocks.
So I was afraid that that's what it was, and so that particular clump, I just cut it off.
I think that's probably the best approach to do it with all of these, but let's see if we can figure out what's going on.
Okay.
Check my website, thegardeningshow.com, or you can click into our flagship station's website, and that's WJR.com.
Okay.
And get into my web pages, and we update about middle of the week, so wait till Wednesday if you don't mind.
Okay.
And I'm going to put some information on spittle bugs and four-line plant bug up there.
Okay.
Because that's what I'm seeing on my plants, my flocks, and those symptoms sort of sound familiar, but I'm not 100% sure. So if that doesn't look what you're seeing, Karen, go ahead and clip most of them off, but save a few, and let's see what's going to happen. And then give me a call next week, and let's see if we can work on this.
Okay, very good.
Thank you for listening, and appreciate the call. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Pat in Fenton, and Jack in Dexter's Be patient. I'm getting to you next. Pat, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Thank you, Dean. I have a cold, so I'm going to try to pronounce
I have this. Allergies, which my to pollen, and my daughters think it's hilarious, so they think it's payback for what I've done to plants all my career. So I understand.
I'm having a problem with raccoons getting into my garden,
boy.
Climbing up on my deck and drinking my hummingbird nectar. How do I get rid of them?
Oh, this is, well, a couple things, Pat. They look cuddly. They've got, you know, the cartoons are always cute.
Yeah.
You got to, these animals can be downright dangerous. So we need
I
to
know.
Respect them, and they're extremely intelligent. And they've got that opposing thumb, so they are tough.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with the repellents first. And sometimes these work, sometimes these don't. My sponsors are Bonide. They're very good. I like their products. I use them. And you can rotate several brands. There are other brands out there. You keep applying it till you find something that they don't like. All right?
Okay.
The other thing then you can use is the spray gun. You hook it up to a hose, and it's triggered by movement. That'll squirt them. They get used to the old trick where you put the old CDs around, and they get used to that. They're so intelligent, that doesn't last very long. Even the radio stations don't work. The next last thing is, are you in the city of Fenton, or are you out in the more rural areas?
I'm in the city of Fenton.
Okay. Well, these are protected animals. You can't, rural areas, okay, there's a obvious approach. And if you trap them, people say, well, you just take them outside of town and dump them. That doesn't work. Raccoons are very territorial. So if you put them out where there are other raccoons, there's going to be a big battle, and I don't think that's appropriate. And besides, then you're just giving your problem to someone else, and I think that's a mistake. If you can't do anything else, call one of the local pest control people that talks about trapping animals. They are specialized and licensed to do that. And they will live trap them and move them out. You need to talk to your neighbors, too, in a wide area, because if you're having a problem, they're having a problem. So you got to do things like secure your garbage cans, don't put dog food out, you know, all these things that we list about controlling wild animals.
Right. Well, I'm in a condominium development, and there are three condos in my
Talk
unit.
To the condo management people, because they've got to do something about controlling their garbage. I'll bet that's what is going on.
Okay.
Good luck. I'm sorry, Pat. Background music means I'm out of here, but good luck. Those raccoons are so intelligent. They're a very formidable pest. Stay tuned. The Gardening Show will be right back.
Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
And before I go back to the lines, I need to thank Annie Nichols and, of course, Rich Lezinski, sorry, Rich, for working so hard to try to make me sound halfway easy to listen to and halfway intelligent, and sometimes failing miserably. You're doing your best job you can. Sorry. 1-800-859-0957 or thegardeningshow.com. And Diane in Ypsilanti, you email me about your purple leaf plum. Don't cut the tree down. This year, the winter damage has just been horrendous, and we have never seen some of the reactions that we're getting. So any plant that is obviously not totally dead, and you're willing to work with it to basically reshape it over a period of years, let's do that rather than just taking it out and replacing it. However, you know, if this thing is something that you really don't want to mess with, the selection of plant material out there is beautiful, and it's lots of great plants, and it's a great opportunity. So don't feel bad if you just decide, hey, I'm not to work with this. It's just not an opportunity. I'm going to replace it. Sounds good to me. Let's go to Jack in Dexter, Ruth in Belleville, Bill in Rochester Hills, and Doris in Bloomfield Hills. Stay on the line. So, Jack, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Yeah, hello, Dean. I have a problem with caterpillars.
Okay.
I got tons of them, and I consulted MSU Extension,
right.
And I sent a sample into them, but it's been raining caterpillars and leaves out here for about 3 weeks, and I think things are slowing down, but what I need is your comments on this situation.
Which...
They said that the emerald ash borer is what they believe this caterpillar is related to.
No, it's not.
To.
The emerald ash borer doesn't have a caterpillar. Not at all. So what kind of tree is it on, Jack? I assume it's
on...
What plant or what? Where are they coming
from?
It's
on maples, and it's on a lot of trees.
Are they coming down on a looks like a little bit of fish line, and they're dropping down on you?
They climb the tree, and then they come back down at night. And when they die hanging straight down.
Okay. No, you got gypsy moth.
Yeah, okay.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. Let's not get overly excited. Gypsy moth has been a problem in this area for years, and it is controllable. And when you say that they die, and gypsy moth is a black moth, it's got fuzz on the back, and it's got blue spots. Blue or red, as I remember. It's been a while since I looked at the little guys. We're seeing them in localized outbreaks. In other words, small areas, and you may be right in the middle of one. Now, the thing about it is that where you see them dying, that's good. That's the fungus, and that's what will take them out. And you're just going to have to put up with it for a little while. They're very easy to kill if they're on your yard or something like that. Any of the insecticides, use something even like malathion, and it'll just knock them off. Check, extension will come back. And with a diagnostic, and they may talk about doing a little bit more spraying and trapping, but we're lucky right now. We're not seeing hundreds and hundreds of acres with this. We're seeing a few acres in a certain spot in a great while. So I got a sneaking suspicion it's gypsy moth. There's one other. It could be an army worm, but it's really early for that. So if extension hasn't got back to you, let's wait till they come back with a sample. Now, when you said you sent in a sample, how did you do that, if you don't mind me asking?
I put it in a can, and I gave it to them, and I paid the $5.
Okay.
And they said they haven't quite seen anything like this.
Well, then they're going to have to, what they're going to do is they're going to kick it up to campus. And but typically, if it's not gypsy moth, then they've seen that, so I don't think that's what it is. It's coming. You get these outbreaks, and Jack, I'm not belittling what you've got to go through, because it is, you know, no fun. But usually they go away, they're not widespread, and they don't come back the next year type of thing. So let's get back with extension and see what they come back with, and give me a call next week. I'm sure they'll have that back to you, and let's talk about this, because if you've got the problem, I think somebody else may have it out there. So if you can put up with it for another week, that might work.
Okay, I appreciate it,
well,
Dean.
Well, hey, Jack, one thing. If they're crawling all over the place, go down to your local independent garden center and get some insecticidal soap. And you've got some that you can put, an applicator that you can put on the end of a hose, and you can just spray them off. And that'll keep them away from your house and stuff. Don't worry about the trees and stuff. Just, you know, keep them off your deck. And things like that. That'll take care of that. So let's wait till extension gets back to you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, okay? Thank you, Dean.
Give me a call back.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Ruth in Belleville, and then Bill in Rochester Hills. You're up next. And Doris, stay on the line. We're getting close to, unfortunately, the end of the show. If I have to, we leave the air, I will talk to you off the air. So, Ruth, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Thank you. I have some trees that I was going to trim now, but I heard you tell someone else not to trim them.
Oaks, ma'am, Ruth. Just oaks.
Oh, just oaks. Okay.
Yes. If it's any of the other trees, you can prune them no matter, you know. It's not the greatest time in the year, but sometimes, this is what's got to be done.
When is the best time?
What kind of trees are you pruning?
Maple and tulip trees.
I like to do it in the winter just because it's easier to do and I can see the structure of the branch.
Mm-hmm.
As far as health of the tree, makes no difference. Not really. Are you going to do this or are you going to have someone do it for you?
No, I'm going to do it. They're not that large yet. I planted them. So
they're
about
fine.
15 feet tall, I think.
Sure. You don't have to worry about putting any tree paint or any of those things on it. Make sure your cuts are clean. How big of branches are you going to have to remove, roughly?
Well, one is probably about 2 inches.
Are you going? I hope you're going to be using a saw on that one.
Yes, I have a saw.
Well, just make sure your cut is clean and leave a nice stub so that they heal over. Tree should be fine. It's no problem at all.
Okay. I also have a very old, large birch tree.
Yes.
And it has some kind of a disease, I believe. It looks really healthy now,
mm-hmm.
but every year it's been getting the leaves brownish yellow
yep.
in
yep.
August and falling down.
Birch,
and last year.
Yeah, it's a birch leaf miner.
Okay, are those big black beetles that I see,
no.
see in the lawn near
no,
there?
No. The big black beetles are something else. The leaf thing is a birch leaf miner, and there are ways to control it. Actually, it's the way they use a drench, just like we use for emerald ash borer control. And I will put on the birch leaf miner on my website and check. Give me till the middle of the week, if you don't mind, and I'll put that information
okay.
on. The big black beetles, I don't know. It could be three or four kinds of things. There are some beetles. The tree looks pretty healthy, though. Ruth?
Now it does, but the last year it was the worst. Slowly, mm-hmm. each year it's been getting leaves falling early.
Right. Are you losing branches?
Yes.
Okay.
The wind blows.
Right. Well, they're brittle anyway. Mm-hmm. Let's put the birch. There are other things possibly on this, and really, to be honest with you, you need to get an expert out there to take a look. Because there may be more issues on this than we're talking about on the air. But check my website, thegardeningshow.com, middle of the week, and we'll go from there, okay?
Okay. I'm also thinking about taking the whole thing down.
Then you need an expert. Have them come out and evaluate it first, okay?
First.
Hate to see a big tree take it down.
It's a beautiful tree.
Sure.
And it's three trees together.
Oh, yeah. Get somebody out there to evaluate it, okay? Before
okay.
we just cut it down. That's a gorgeous tree. It may have to be come down, but it may not. So,
should I get some from the state?
Okay. Background music means, unfortunately, this is the end of the show. I didn't realize it came out. So stay tuned. I'll be back in a week. Have a fantastic week. And all of those on the lines, Doris, Gerald, and Bill, stay on the line. I'll talk to you off the air. Thank you.